Hello, hello, hello. You know what time it is. You're listening to Katie and Kay Radio. And this is SS Kitty. I'm your host of the Current Ritual Public Affairs Show. And today, I am so excited to have a friend, a colleague, a community member, someone very near and dear to my heart. Mindy Arbuckle is in the house. Mindy, thank you for being here today.
Here today. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Awesome. And for those of you who don't know Mindy Arbuckle, will you please introduce yourself to the community? Tell them a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in the Valley, and what your specialty is with your private practice.
Fantastic. I have been here in the Carbondale of Roaring Fork Valley for about 4 years, and I am so, so glad to be here. This is home for sure. I came from the Front Range and left at just the right moment in time, and ever since moving here, it has been nourishing and soul supportive and elevating and all the beautiful things. I love the people who are here and I love working with them. I love being in the community. I have two wonderful daughters and a beautiful husband. My girls are 9 and 14, so they go to school here. We're part of the community. And my work revolves around just elevating energy and making people happier and more themselves. And that shows up in a lot of different ways because I love to do a lot of different things and meet people exactly where they are. So crystals are a big part of what I do. I work with them in my apothecary work, and I make beautiful organic things to make people happier and higher vibes and all those things. I also work with crystals as an energy healing practice, and they're tools to help realign us into clear energy to help us feel more like the person that we came here to be. I also teach yoga at True Nature. I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, I sing kirtan.
I was going to say you sing kirtan.
Oh, my gosh.
You're like a vendor galore at all the festivals and places.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I've been very impressed with all your offerings and all the moving parts of your business.
Thank you.
Still managing a home and the kids. And so kudos to you for all of that. And so being in a spiritual, would you call it a spiritual business?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So being in this spiritual business, can you tell the listeners any people or events that led you down this path or that got you to this point to, you know, to have all these offerings and to be so deep in this practice?
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Grand Island, Nebraska, like the center of the country. And I was always like this. I was this hippie child that didn't belong in Nebraska, but was somehow still born there. It gave me deep roots. Like, I know that this earth is nourishing and supportive. And then I also became a people pleaser and a perfectionist, which also led to a lot of self-doubt.
Right.
And I ended up going to a university, an engineering university in Golden, School of Mines, and realized about a year and a half after going there that, whoa, I just came here for my dad and my favorite teacher. Oh, no. What am I going to do? Because if I quit school now, like, I start a different school, I have to start over from scratch because being a freshman at Mines is like no other university.
Right.
It's like no
credits don't transfer.
They would transfer, but I would be like all math, all science, nothing else. Like history, no liberal arts. So I stuck with it. And I think by choosing to study abroad for my junior year, it allowed me to feel like, hey, this is who I really am. I can show up as the person that I'm meant to be, not the person that I've been designed to be by all these other people. And then when I moved to Alaska after graduating, I got married, and I discovered, well, I'd started practicing yoga during college before yoga was a thing. There were no yoga studios to go to. I just grabbed a book and took it with me to Europe. And when I graduated and I moved to Alaska, I had a little bit more time and space on my hands than I'd ever had before. And I was like, whoa, this practice feels good. I'm breathing, I'm moving my body, and I feel so connected. So I became a yoga teacher instead of, you know, being an economist, like my degree said. I became a yoga teacher.
I would have never pegged you as like an economics degree.
Well, it was basically the only thing that was not engineering.
Interesting.
Because at 18, I knew I was going to be a chemical engineer.
Wow. Wow. Like, so, when I was 18, I was going to be a healthcare lawyer.
Yeah. Right. See? And then life just kept directing me in different ways. So I loved teaching yoga, and I loved helping people connect to their breath and their body, and they just feel better when they're practicing yoga. And then, you know, years go by. I'm still teaching. I open up my own yoga studios. And then I become a mother. Like, right before I turned 30, I become a mother. And it awoke something in me that I didn't know was there. I mean, I knew it was there, but I didn't know it was there.
Yeah, you don't know till you know.
Right.
With becoming a mom, there's nothing that can prepare you for that.
It, like, exploded my heart in the best way possible.
Right. Right.
Like, not destruction.
Yeah.
And I felt this divine feminine power in me from the whole process of pregnancy and birth, and just this inner knowing,
right,
that she is strong. I am strong. And I wasn't raised that way. I was raised in a very male-dominated kind of family and, you know, like the regular stuff that most people deal with. And I was not taught that feminine was strong. I was taught that the feminine's weak and she doesn't know what to do, and you got to show her everything because she's kind of whatever. I don't know.
And I mean, look at how American birth has been handled, with anesthetizing us to the pain.
So away from
your
intuition.
We know better. Yeah. You can't trust your body. You can't trust yourself. And there is a big movement that's, you know, that's kind of part of.
That's crazy. It's crazy to me.
It is. It's so crazy.
But
that goes along when you were saying that. That's what I thought of, is like how we handle birth.
Yeah.
In the Western model historically is like exactly that. You don't know what to do. We will show you.
Uh-huh.
We will handle this. Yeah.
So like, that's how the masculine has kind of dominated for millennia.
2,000 years at least.
Probably more.
Maybe more. Yeah.
But anyways, when I realized I had all of this in me, I mean, I've been doing mantras and chakras and all of this stuff with the yoga system for decades at that point, or a decade at that point. And I just started working with the feminine, and she started waking up in me and making me realize that, whoa, this is not weak. This is not like you've got nothing in you. It was like everything. And I felt so much stronger and more capable in myself than ever before. So praying to Divine Mother, when I made that shift from being born and raised as Catholic, praying to the Father, who was always a little bit too stern and a little scary, and you have to pray for forgiveness because watch out, otherwise you're going to hell.
Right.
And then I started praying to Mother, and it was like I had never felt that kind of love before from a divine being.
Right.
It was magic. And I was like, what took me so long? And so when she started waking up in me and I started working with the Divine Mother, whoa, everything changed in my life. And I was able to tune in and listen to, not just listen to, but trust myself, my intuition, the direction I wanted to go. I was still a perfectionist recovering from that ailment.
Right.
But there was some new energy in me that was driving me, and gosh, it was glorious.
Right. I feel you on that. I was also raised Catholic and, you know, got a degree and was in Western medicine and healthcare. Mm-hmm. And then life, you know, just pushed me and pushed me and mm-hmm. pushed me. And then I ended up getting on a more spiritual path and, tapping into that divine feminine. And there was a lot of unlearning, you know, mm-hmm. that I've had to do. And that inner skeptic and that voice, you know, that you're not good enough, or
that's...
you're off base, or how dare you, you know, be powerful, or
yeah.
think that you're this.
Yeah.
I'm still unlearning that
uh-huh.
and having to rewire my brain for that. But I agree with you that, you know, praying to the Divine Mother, becoming a mother, tapping in, it is a totally different experience than anything that I was raised with.
Yeah. And it taught me that I can truly trust myself and all is well.
Right. Which is, in the world that we live in, saying all is well, most people would probably be like,
oh, you're crazy.
Exactly. The world's on fire right now. How can you say that? So let's jump into... So with your work, with yep. spiritual work, with crystals, with energy work, mm-hmm. what to you are the misconceptions or preconceived notions that people carry that might keep them from accessing your work or coming along, you know, this journey as you and I've been on more toward divine feminine being present?
Yeah. I think that it's so far from what we've all been raised with these, like, cultural norms of how we heal. It's not definable. It's not provable, although it is provable and they have done studies. These are the misconceptions, is that like this is just hooey. This is made up. But this is ancient. This wisdom that we're tapping into, this energy that we're tapping into, could be, there's nothing more real than that. And the things that are falsehoods are Western medicine being the only way to heal yourself. And thinking that there's only this one small, narrow avenue in which to heal yourself. And that's giving your healing powers up to somebody else.
Right. No. Right. Regaining sovereignty. That's a huge theme in my private practice, is helping people regain sovereignty over their thoughts, over their health, over their choices, over their power.
You are in charge. This is your brain. Yeah. This is your body. This is your heart. They are yours to work with, to maneuver with, to mold, to shape, to love.
Right. And echoing back to you, that ancient piece, I was just at the Aspen Psychedelic Symposium participating last weekend, and I got to catch Dennis McKenna's talk. And that was something that he brought up, was art, you know, and humans creating art. And some of the oldest art, which is, some of it was like 1 million years ago, 2 million years ago, hundreds of 450,000 years ago. All of the first artifacts that they're finding are female, like deities, you know, with big breasts and big bellies and, you know, sort of mirroring the mother energy, the creator.
The nurturing, the sustenance, the life-giving.
So those ancient cultures, that was the focus. And then, you know, that's been lost. And when I, you know, speak to different people, I'm like, if anybody thinks that we're living in the most advanced society that's ever been on the planet, they're highly misinformed, in my opinion. You know, looking back at, you know, ancient civilizations, you know, there's a lot of things that we know. There's a lot of things that we don't know and that we fill in the gaps. But that was something.
There's a lot of things that have been hidden on purpose.
Bing, 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 bing. Nailed it.
Well, and that's part of why I sing and do these public kirtans, is because singing is one of the most ancient ways of connecting.
Explain to the guests what kirtan is, because I didn't even know. Like, I only discovered you in that last year.
So. Yeah, so kirtan is sacred singing. And it's traditionally done from the Vedic perspective or the Hindu perspective. That's where I got it from, yoga. All of these beautiful mantras. And if you look at the classical definition, it'll say praying to God. Singing songs that praise God. But it's not just God, it's goddess. It's like all of these different realms of the divine. And in the Hindu pantheon, they say that there's only one God, but it shows itself in many forms so that we can relate to it easier. And so there's loads of goddesses, because sometimes you really need somebody to support you when you're in a really expansive creative process. Other times you got to clear the junk out and be like really strong with your boundaries and really strong with your priorities, right? Other times you really need a nurturing, loving, kind mother who will understand you and hold you. Sometimes you've got to persevere. Sometimes you've got to like clear the stuff out and just stop and have a clear, defined ending in something that's going on in your life. Like, you've got to have a transition.
Right. And it's just like the nuances of being human, you know, don't really fit with a singular male God.
Yeah. Probably. And it's difficult to like say like that one. Yes, that one God can help us with everything, but it's hard to access.
Right, as a human brain and
because
understanding
it's so
all these
big
capacities.
Yeah, it's so giant that it's like, well, like it's, I don't know, trying to ask your grandfather that you've never met, but you're there right in front of him for like the biggest ask that you've ever asked. He'd like, he's not going to get it.
Right? Depends. I guess it depends on the grandpa.
But like, you've never met him before. Like, like everybody's been talking about him, but you don't know him. And so it's like there's so many fun ways that you can access the divine, and there's no one right religion. They're all pointing in the same direction, just from different angles. Right. And like, people fighting over religion is just dumb. And the thing for me, when I started praying to the divine feminine, my whole life shifted, because I felt love like I had never known before. And like, this thing about the divine feminine is that she's not here to tell you that you're right or that you're wrong. She's just there to support you on an elevating path. And so she's not going to negate the masculine. Like, we've been through millennia of masculine negating feminine, right?
Correct.
Like, so much squashing of the women's
power. I feel
like
all of us should be able to agree about that.
Right. Like, so, I mean, you give innumerable examples of that. But the divine feminine, she don't want to squash the divine masculine. She wants to elevate the divine masculine too, because it takes both of us in harmony, in balance, to create a world that is life supportive of all.
Right. And so, that's where too, like with squashing the divine feminine, I've felt, and this might be controversial, but it's almost with the feminist movement, like, oh, we can work like you can, and we can keep up mm-hmm. in the economy with you can. It almost degraded the role of the mother
yeah.
to me. And I don't go along with that. Like, I think the role of the mother is super powerful and important mm-hmm. and to me more important than any economic job or position. And so that's been part of navigating this whole
yeah. To unlearning. Realize that the feminist movement was just women becoming more masculine,
yes.
out of balance masculine, not divine masculine.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's like I feel the same.
The masculine has been out of balance for millennia, probably again.
Right.
Right. And so it's not about one overtaking the other and switching the balance of power. It's about everybody rising together and finding our own balance. And everybody needs divine feminine and everybody needs divine masculine because they are harmonious. They're partners. They're supposed to be together. And it doesn't matter if you're male or female. We all have both of those. So like we can just put that aside. And really awakening this divine feminine is going to awaken the divine masculine.
Right. Right. And so speaking to that, for the listeners that this might be their first exposure
yeah.
to this kind of conversation, can you talk a little bit more about what the divine feminine means to you mm-hmm. and then how we mm-hmm. foster that
yeah.
in our real life?
So she exists in all things everywhere, and she is the creative power of this universe. So she is what is organizing all of this beautiful universe that we have. She's the one who keeps us in the rhythm of seasons and makes the leaves grow and then turns them to a beautiful color and then drops them and then renews. She is this renewal power. She is this expansive love that sees all things through the lens and the power of love. Like, this is the most potent energy in the universe is love. And that's what also keeps us all organized and creating. And then doing it, being able to tune into your intuition and trust your inner knowing is key to awakening this divine power within. So you have two voices inside. You have the one that keeps you small and scared and fear-based, or you have the one that says you've got more in you. She's the one who says you can dare to be that. Yes, you actually have the capacity to expand and to be the person that you came here to be. She's the one who is encouraging you, right? And so we've got to clear the crap that's in the way, because that's the one that keeps us small and limited. And that's the out of balance masculine. That's not the divine masculine. That's the out of balance masculine trying to keep us hidden and tight. But the divine feminine, she's like, oh, honey, no, you got this. She loves us so much. Like, she knows that we're going to make mistakes. Who cares? We're going to make mistakes on this path, and we're going to learn from them. Like, she's already talking to us
Hello.
Right here.
Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the lightning.
This happened in
the
session
thunder.
A couple of weeks ago where we just, like, there was this huge shift of energy, and all of a sudden, like, doors slammed that I didn't even know were open in my house, and wind came, and, like, it was crazy. Like, that's... She shows herself.
Right. I paddleboarded the Colorado the other day.
Wow, you're brave.
I know. I wanted to tap into
her power.
That power of, like, she's trusting myself. And it was funny because I was coming up on this really rough section of river, and I prayed to her. And I said, keep me on my board. You know, don't let me fall off during this. And people might think I'm crazy, but I kid you not. The waves, like, calmed down, and I had this, like, smooth path that uh-huh. I went on
uh-huh.
and I was in awe and had this, like, incredible moment of trusting myself. And the big lightning bulb that I had in that moment was, your most important relationship is with Great Spirit.
Yeah.
and the divine feminine. And it was just very clear to me the other day.
When you can have that connection where you've got outer trust and inner trust, that's where the magic happens. Like magic. She's magic.
It did feel like magic.
Right?
It totally felt. And it was just me.
It's inner and outer alignment.
Yeah.
And the inner alignment comes from you clearing the crap, clearing the dense energies, the negative cords that people have attached to you that you haven't known to clear. It's being able to recognize your sovereignty.
Right.
And be able to own your own power.
I know. And so then I wanted... Since we've talked a lot about divine feminine, can you describe what divine masculine, because we know we've talked about the ways that the distorted or unbalanced masculine shows up. Can you talk a little bit about what divine masculinity, that power looks like?
So divine masculine is the clarity, the consciousness, the container that holds this creation. But without the energy of the divine feminine to move it and to actually create with it, the masculine just holds space. And so the masculine has gotten out of balance because it felt that it had to do all of it because it didn't trust the feminine anymore. And who knows where that mistrust came from? I'm not going to get into that.
Right.
But the masculine felt the need to push and to make things happen instead of trusting in the harmonious balance, the harmonious relationship it had with feminine. Like in Catholicism, like we were both raised, and in Christianity, we have a masculine figure. We have two particular masculine figures. Mother Mary's there, but then they also said to Mary Magdalene, oh, you're a hooker, right? So they like they tried to diminish the feminine into, well, she just bore the Son of God.
Right.
That's all her role is.
Right.
But like, what?
Right.
I mean, come on, really? Is there really no strength to motherhood? Is there really no wisdom in a woman? I think that that's just not true.
Right. I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and I said, I wonder, because of the 12 apostles and Mary Magdalene, you know, traveling around and like teaching and being with them, I wonder if that's where the hooker, you know,
because she was one with 12.
Yeah. Because it's like, what's that one woman do traveling around with all those
men? She can't just contain herself and she can't like protect herself from 12 horny men. Who knows?
But I don't, and that's where like I've been tapping into that and praying a lot about that. And I feel like she was a teacher and these men actually had righteous relationship with her and like respected her potentially. And so that, and that's what, that's been something I've been really into is right relationship between men and women.
Yeah.
Because when I was raised, you know, a lot of us in our culture, it's like men and women can't be friends if you're in partnership or if you're married or something. Like there's always something going on.
Right.
And I think that's a reflection of this distortion in the masculine and feminine, because I think when they're in balance, we should be able to be in right relationship that's not romantic, that's respectful. And I really...
It's not all about sex.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's so much more that we can share as humans. And with getting the divine feminine energy back into its righteous place, so then the divine masculine can rise up.
Yeah.
I'm curious if that right relationship, like friendships between men and women, is one of the avenues.
Yeah.
To getting there. What do you think?
I think so, because like divine masculine is straightforward. It like it sees the path, it makes the plan, and it gets it, right? Divine feminine, she also makes a plan, but she meanders her way there. Like she moves and twists and turns. She doesn't just move in a straight line. It's not the same. But they can dance together.
Right.
And having a balanced relationship is important. Like we need to be teaching this to our youngsters all the way up through college and into adulthood, because we can. It has been out of balance for so long that most people don't even have the capacity to imagine what it's like.
Right.
They just follow what everybody says, which, I mean, that's part of human nature. It's easy.
Right.
But just because it's easy and just because it's always been that way doesn't mean it always needs to be. We are in a time of evolution.
I was going to say, we're in a paradigm shift. So that's part of the reason why we're having this conversation. Because I believe in our community. Like you said at the beginning, this is an amazing place we live.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that we here in our relationships with our community have the potential to heal a lot of this and to raise children who also are going to be capable adults to, you know,
to
make,
be
part of this
paradigm
shift.
what is right and what is not right. Like, there's a lot of crazy stuff going out there right now. Right. And being able to discern what is supportive of life and what is not supportive of life, it's so important to teach our kids that.
Right. And this has gone by really quickly for me. We're almost out of time.
Oh, my gosh.
So I want you to let our listeners know how to be in contact with you, how to access your offerings. Let people know how to hook up and learn more about you.
Perfect. So easiest way to go to hold of me is to just go to my website, mindyrbuckle.com, A-R-Buckle, like just spell a belt buckle and you got it.
Mm-hmm. And Mindy is M-I-N-D-Y.
Yes.
mindyrbuckle.com.
Yes. Right. Cool. And you know, that's my job. I'm here to help this paradigm shift. I have done this work for over 2 decades, and I have done the internal work so that I can help you also get through it and understand yourself on a completely different level, so that when the universe calls upon you to stand up and be brave and be strong in this paradigm shift, you got the spiritual muscles to do it. That's my ideal client, is somebody who is willing to put in this work inside so that they can clear their path and help others clear their path too. Like, I love light bearers, but you have to not just pretend that the shadow is not there. Like, you got to deal with the shadow. And that's what I love actually helping people with, is to deal with their shadow.
Right. Junk. And we could have a whole nother show about shadow work. And and that's what, you know, with my clients, because through my own personal learning and evolution, you know, I bring that awareness. Mm-hmm. And it's been funny, because in my own evolution, the needs of my clients change as I'm prepared to show up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for that. And so,
and you can only teach authentically as far as you're willing to go yourself.
And as you know from my story, you know I'm willing to go wherever it needs to take me.
Wherever it takes us is where we got to go. I mean, like, we got to have the guts to do it. It takes courage.
Awesome. Well, Mindy, this has been awesome. Thank you for your time.
Yes, this is so fun. Like, this whole journey is so fun.
Yay. Well, listeners, we love you. Be good to each other. Be good to yourself. And maybe listen to this again when it comes out. I feel like what we covered, we might need to hear this a few times for it to fully sink in. So until next time, this has been the Current Ritual Public Affairs Show. Thanks.